It's good to be back. Nostra Thomas, we know it all and you don't. I've been saying I know it all for the longest time, but since you're sitting right here, and Gary wanted a little better at the work on your sidekick. You didn't like
Take
that.
A practice run. Let's listen.
My sidekick, genius, sidekick calm. I'm going to have to come up with something that like tones me down name, like.
That would
I'm
be a
getting
good
all
one.
Upset, and I look over. Gary, could you help me out here? Kick me under the table.
That'd be a
they
good
can
one.
See that. Well, we're back, and we have a special guest, Greg Teflon Don Broma. Gotti, I was calling you that when I didn't even know if that was okay. Remember?
Yeah, so yeah, man. Yeah, sure.
Teflon Don. I'm thinking maybe he doesn't even like that nickname I gave him.
Been hearing that since junior high.
That's good, though. But, it fits.
I played ball with them, both from Champion. Now a school teacher. And I like this story because I remember when you were playing on my team, you were working for a factory and really hated it. And I remember it because I really loved my job at that time because I was doing the shows and that. And I used to think, man, that does stink. I mean, in my mind, I would think because you're such a up guy, but you always seem kind of down about that part of your life. And I remember when it closed, I was really feeling bad because remember we were trying to think of things that you could do and that. I got to give you all the credit in the world. You went back to school. I tease you about your test scores and that, you know. But that's just, you know, something that me and my brother would go, you got to send something to Gotti about this, his last quiz or whatever. Yeah, I'll do it this time. But I gotta give you a lot of credit. I really was proud of you.
Thank you.
And it's funny because what my son Tommy is going through this right now. I got him a job at Cafaro. He wanted, had to have it. I go, okay, not everybody can go ahead. And then he's going, damn, why is everybody not like to go? Oh. And then I got him a job at Aptiv and grumpy, grouchy. He said, now he was done with school. I'm going to go back. I want to be a coach. I want to be a teacher. And I'm not kidding you. He goes to school and comes home from school. He's a lot like my dad. Here's $1 million. Yeah, but the bills, I want them in 20s. You know, always something wrong. My dad's just the way. Nothing, you know, I want 50s, not 20s. Tommy kind of, we used to call him little grandpa and stuff. And now he comes home from he's doing teaching, he's substituting and in this chipper mood. And I go, that's how you know somebody.
He found his little.
He says, I actually like going to school. He likes doing it. So I want you to kind of take it from there and tell us what it's like, because I know what it's like in Youngstown City schools. So I wanted you to kind of tell me, how long you been there now?
Oh, this is my fifth year teaching there.
Wow. That means we're getting kind of old because that's 5 years plus. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, when I worked at the factory, I had worked there for 18 years. And I always, like in hindsight, things become much more clear. And I would say there was like a highly paid prison because you got a good union wage. And I was very grateful for that. I was very grateful for the paycheck that I was able to raise my three oldest kids on. I have nothing but good things to say about that company. Mm-hmm. You know, just a competitive thing. And they made a decision and we had to abide by it. But, you know, they could not have been more gracious in offering us re-education, opportunity, training.
I didn't know that part.
Yes. Well, that's good.
So
like a tuition assistance program.
Absolutely. And it was so good that what I was given was called TAA, trade adjustment assistance. It was actually more beneficial than using my VA benefits. So I was able to go to college and they, instead of reimbursing me, they paid up front. So I only had to pay for the first year because I had to kind of play games to make the timelines work. So yeah. I went to Kent State and I'd always wanted to go to college and it just never worked out. And I had kids to support and a family to look after, yeah, and I just couldn't go. So when the plant closed, as scary as that was, it was actually a ticket to freedom because now I had the first chance in my life to determine my own destiny.
You had the time. too.
Yes, yes. And, you know, with the way that program was structured, and I had been, you know, smart about, you know, saving up money and things like that. So I was
able to exist. So you had a whole 4 years to do?
I did it in three. I did my bachelor's in three. I did like 16, 18 hours a semester.
On campus?
Well, a lot of it was online, but yeah, I went to Trumbull, and then when I had to, I had to go to Kent, Maine.
And how long you've been teaching now?
This will be this is my fifth school year teaching.
Oh, nice. So, and what grade do you teach?
I teach seventh and eighth, language arts and history.
Well, it has to be a little tough. Because I remember what I was like in seventh and eighth grade. That had to be a little tough.
Well, I have the benefit of having been one of the worst students ever, so I know what to expect.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess that makes sense. I mean, yeah, because I wasn't real good either.
Yeah, I was good, and then it went bad.
And you teach what subject do you teach?
I teach language arts, and I teach history. So there's so much crossover between the two. I can really double up on it. Like if I'm teaching, we just finished French and Indian War. So when I give ELA reading materials, I find French and Indian War materials. So they learn more about the material and history while they're learning their language arts.
We're still allowed to teach history.
We are. And you know what? I absolutely got to give a shout out to my boss. My boss is amazing. She allows us a lot of freedom to run our classes as long as we're teaching by the Ohio standards. Mm-hmm. And of course, I teach a very honest but patriotic version of our history. Our children know to be proud of their country because it's their country.
They
should feel ownership of it.
That's right. That's excellent. Good.
And you know what? Here's the thing, though, Greg. A lot of people don't get into panicky that they're not sure what they want yet. But God puts something in everybody's heart at a younger age. And if you don't do that, you end up looking behind in the rearview mirror your entire life, kind of reaching back. So that's why I tell people come up, what do you think? Now I went to Kent State for physics. Look, I went through high school, never had to study. Man, you got to teach kids how to study, how to take notes. Bro, I was completely lost when I finally wasn't coming real easy. And so now I'm writing shit on my arm and stuff just to survive because I never learned. You're the great student. You know, I just believed all the stuff. But then when it came to organizing anything, I couldn't read my own stuff. I couldn't find half the crap. I didn't buy the book. I'm sitting there. What are you doing? Oh, no, nothing. Yeah, that's what it looks like you're doing. Do you have a pen? I don't even have a pencil sitting there. So, I mean, I would actually went up to the third floor of Kent State Library and started crying because I couldn't focus long enough and get my facts together on how to. Because that's everything, is knowing how to study for something. And it was really difficult. And it hurt me later on, keeping myself together. I mean, I had secretary. If it wasn't for some of my secretaries, I look like a daggone idiot. Because I couldn't, I just throw all the stuff to her, put that in order there and get that in so I don't lose it. It's in my car in the back seat, pulled out, it's all wrinkled up. Oh, here it is.
Bunch of little King's caps laying all over it.
Oh, here's got ketchup on it. There you go.
They still sell those things?
No, I wish they did because I used to love those when I was younger.
What's funny is I'm not kidding you. I turned in a lease one time, and when everybody's sitting there to sign it, there was ketchup on the back page. And they're like, Tom, is this blood on this bank? You made them sign it? What are you talking about?
Don't ask questions you don't want to answer.
It was so daggone funny because everybody's like kind of, Tom, let me enforce the guy to design. So, that is a big thing because I listen to teachers that really know what they're doing. My wife still gets kids coming up here like 35 or 30 years old. You were, inspiration. I mean, you can really mold somebody's future. With a position like that.
I think when I was in school, because I actually liked school, but I goofed off a lot.
That's unbelievable. I just don't buy that.
Well, you better buy it because junior high school, high school, they're like, hey, senior skip day. I was gone. But there was a lot of classes. A lot of my teachers were awesome. And how they taught the class kept my attention. Normally it was like, if it didn't get my attention or grab it, I'd lose interest in it. And I would do not real, real good in the class. I mean, I wouldn't fail it, but I wouldn't do real, real good. But I just lost interest in it. But I had teachers that taught some stuff that was very interesting.
Some of them mailed it in. Let's be honest.
Like I had government class.
I went to Champion. I mean, come on. Some of those people.
So that explains it.
Yeah, I mean, do your stuff, do your work. You know, anybody can do that. But I mean, because it looks like you enjoy it. And it's not just.
I think if you have, you know, if you're really interested in the way they present it to the students, that student's going to take more pride in doing their research at home on it because they're interested. You know, does it make sense? Or
you want to stimulate them. Yeah. You said that the subjects you were interested in, you did better in. I mean, it's right. Just basically how it is for all of us. You know, history and literature were always what I liked the most, and that's what I teach. You know, I heard it said best when I was coaching football, a guy who he's a cop up in East Cleveland, and he coached with us. And he told me one time, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You have to make sure these kids know you care about them, that you care about them being safe. And a lot of them, they come to school to be loved. Some of the, you know, teaching in Youngstown, I have kids who come in and they come from some bad situations.
True. Yeah, that's sad.
And when they come in, they are
going back to hell when they leave that school.
Absolutely. Yep. My principal and I were talking about it today. You know, we've got 2 days next week before Thanksgiving break, and we have to give those kids 2 days of love before we break for Thanksgiving, because that's got to carry them through those next 6 days till we come back to school.
Sure.
Because some of them, we're the only ones who give them that.
Oh, that's
sad. You know, and I always, this type of teaching where they're trying to stump you, I always had a problem with that. I like, you know, but I know what they're saying. Like, I would half hear what the assignment was and do it my way. And then I come in and I did a thing on my presentations on how to keep a tan for 12 months. Right? Okay, that was my, this is really impressive. But that's not the topics I gave you. Oh, whoops. Wasn't paying attention when you told me that. He goes, but this is impressive. I can keep a tan through December. I go, yeah.
Well, it's a tan and wolf bed. 32
There's a lot to learn. Yeah. But I know what the actual trying to stump, like doing something, I always think it's learning. Any way you can get these kids to learn and not deflate them with, you know, some trick question or something. I always thought that was. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. Why do teachers do that? Why do they like try to stump you or like pull the wool over your eyes to see if you're going to make the right decision or pick the right answer?
I know it's to pay attention, and I know it's to
because sometimes I remember that when I was in school, sometimes they would do that.
Like,
I used to get upset.
Oh, come on, man. You worded that the way where I wasn't getting it. You know?
I had the same issue with teachers.
Yeah.
When I became a teacher, I was like, I'm not going to do that.
Good.
And I try to fill the kids with self-efficacy. They believe that they can do it. If you make a child believe they can do it, they're more apt to try to as hard as they can to do it. And you have to give them their wins along the way. Now, we are in the age of digital learning. So we have kids who try to Google things. So it's a real art to word your questions to where they can't put them into Google and find the answer. You know, you have to, it takes.
So they have to really read it.
They have to go find it. Because I'm, you know, every quiz, every test I give in history is open notes. Life is open notes. You want to know who was the commander in chief of the revolutionary forces in, you know, the American Revolution? Well, you're going to Google that in. It's going to tell you George Washington. You know what I mean? No, I'm not putting you on the spot.
Big gong.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah, but no, that makes sense. Yeah, yeah, you got to word it different so they can't just do everything on their phone.
So there's a lot more it goes into it.
They still can. They have those apps now that you can almost.
You do what you can. You know what I mean?
I know.
But the thing is, you still have to find, you can Google whatever the assignment is given to you, but you have to find the right answer. Normally, it's just not one answer on Google. Like if you would, like who you just asked, if you put that in, you'd probably get a one answer word for that. But other questions, you might get three different, well, which is the right one?
Right. And that's true.
You know, so it makes sense to word it right. So they have to really put some thought into it. That does make sense. Right.
How are you doing with the current events? Are you with your history class? Let me just ask you some questions.
Sure.
Because of where we are right now. Well, I found a way to segue that in.
That was smooth.
What a shocker. The way we have a unique country. our elections, court systems. You know, we're the leader in our uniqueness as a free country, but then we still have the checks and balances, and we don't let. Right now, I'm really concerned about a trial that's going on right now and how we're conducting it. And past trials and people being held from this insurrection since January without a speedy trial. And I'm watching all this and I'm thinking, what are our young people learning on how this is working, where we're now putting people in handcuffs before we ever even get through the trial? And now we're sensitized, everybody's knowing, and now they're fear for their life as a juror. And these kind of things are actually molding the outcomes. How is that difficult as a teacher with the liberal media? Because I know you know some people that you went to school with. I went to school with. They got into journalism. And I mean, long-term friendships gone. What is it when you get in that field that you just sell your soul and you just, you absolutely have no, I can't believe you go to sleep at night because your entire job is lying or looking the other way or reporting what they want. That whole thing just amazes me that we're at that point. So as a teacher, how are you getting around all this?
It's very important when you are teaching young minds to teach them to critically think. They need to be able to look at facts and come to their own conclusions. If I were to try to incline them to think one way or the other, I would be doing them a disservice because then I'm getting into propaganda instead of teaching. I'm becoming a propagandist, right. And I refuse to do that.
A lot of.
Now, as you know me well enough to know that I have my own opinions on things, and you know, I'm not afraid to voice them in private company. But when it comes to my job, not a single one of my students could ever tell you what party I support, who I voted for, how I feel about a current president or a past president. The way I teach those things is I'll say some people feel that the president should sign this bill because of A, B, and C. There are other people who feel he should not sign it because of A, B, and C. That's how I teach it.
That's good.
And that's the way, you know, I feel.
Well, I wish everybody would do that because, you know, once you get into the college level, they just, you're not allowed to have your own opinions.
Well, it's above my pay grade.
It's just
good answer, Greg. Yeah, because I just know what we're trying to do with history and everything, what we're trying to cancel out, pretend like didn't happen. And, you know, in my mind, we should be focusing on math and English and all these other tangible things that we're trying to get them stuck in their head when they're young, which is obviously an agenda. You don't have to say that. I'm saying it. That's where you get them. You get them young. They're scared to death. They're wearing a mask. They need to be told what to do because now all of a sudden, you know, the government's got to take care of them now, and they've got them younger and younger believing in this routine. And it's really, you know, kids go to college and they come home with all these crazy new ideas. Like, what are you talking about? You know, you'd have them thinking that, you know, we just were this horrible nation here and you know, we shouldn't have anything. And I always say, well, if you hate the way you got all this money, why don't you give it back then? And why don't you be the first one?
Oh, yes.
Give all the money back. That
the IRS has a program where you can donate to help reduce the deficit. There's nothing stopping any of these
I'm
people
getting from on
doing
that
it.
As soon as we leave here.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's the website?
I got it right here.
Let's take my money, please.
But
it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's definitely scary.
It is. And I just know that teaching in a private school is a lot easier than teaching in the regular school system.
Well, what... charter schools are public schools.
Right. No, I meant, but there are Christian schools.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I went to Christian school for 6 years growing up.
Yeah.
And then I went into Warren City Schools and moved to Champion junior year, finished out there. So I was all over the place. I was exposed to a lot of different methods and a lot of different things. Hmm. And private school has the ability to make its own curriculum and teach it. When I was at Christian school, I learned that America, I mean, it was, you know, Superman standing there with the American flag holding a Bible, you know, and this is the way they taught America. And of course you have to, as you read and you get older and educate yourself, you learn that, you know, there were ugly chapters in our history. I think the beautiful thing about America is the Constitution which started out with a Bill of Rights in the 10 amendments, has evolved to 27 amendments, and it can be changed. We make a mistake like prohibition. Prohibition was a mistake. So they issued another amendment, ratified it, and it revoked prohibition. We can fix our errors. The 13th Amendment freed the slaves. No one can ever be a slave again. And that is the beautiful thing about America. And a true democracy, and I'm sorry, I hope I'm not, you know, rambling here.
No, you're fine.
A true democracy is where 51% of the people can vote to take your car, and it's legal, and you have to give it up. In a constitutional republic like America, you have the right to your property. You have the right guaranteed in the Bill of Rights, given by God, protected by the Bill of Rights, that they can't vote to take your car. They can't vote to do these things. There's constitutional rights that no matter what the current media fad is, they cannot oversee that constitution. Well, they cannot supersede it.
Well, they've also tried to call it a democracy. It's a republic.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Drives me nuts.
That people, you just keep hearing that narrative and you just like the science. If I hear one more science, okay, let me just tell you some of the science. Vermont's 98% vaccinated.
Double vaxxed.
And 30%, and their numbers are shooting through the roof. All I'm saying is this. It's the science has been BS. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the real word, but quit saying science because none of this is scientific, okay? Not one study, nothing makes sense. The vaccination came out. It was supposed to be the cure-all controller. Now you have to have a booster every other day. Look, you were wrong every single time. So why can't you just say, we don't really know what we're dealing with here. We're trying these things and they're not working. Always has to be some agenda-driven, crazy way that we do things now all of a sudden where it's behind closed doors making these decisions. And they're still doing them. I mean, they're still talking about this stuff. If Kyrie Irving doesn't want to have a vaccination, that should be his
constitutional right.
Yes. Like he's some kind of complete nut job. And they still keep using these buzzwords. It's follow the science, follow your ass. We followed the science and none of it's worked. So, I mean, it's just the way that things are headed. I don't even know how we're going to find our way back, because I was on Ron Verb's show talking about, you know, this problem with the getting labor. I mean, the labor issue is really hard. I mean, where I'm working right now, you can't get rid of people. If they stink, doesn't matter. You can't. And the problem is, and they keep acting like these people are so, can't believe they're sitting at home. Well, the government's made it that way. So you're a freaking fool if you're going to go make $12 an hour, give it half back to the government, and then miss out on utilities and money. And then you made this mess. Don't act like these people are idiots. They're only working the system the way the system is. And that's why we'll always have
the way it allows them. Yeah.
Right. We'll always have half the people voting for Daffy Duck if he runs for Democrat, because they're on the take. That's the guy that's going to keep it going. What do you think they're going to vote for?
It's pretty sad that people would base their decision on how much they can get away with.
Well, yeah.
I'm going to base my decision.
It's set up, though. Right.
Well,
I think it's been like that for years, though.
Yeah, but
I don't think it's just now.
Right now, it's really bad because property taxes, when you get your check, it's a microcosm of what your hours are. I mean, it's just beat all the heck. You got all these extra fees and stuff. So when you start looking at that and you start adding it up, and we were actually doing it on Ron Verb's show, he goes, hold it. Right, $15 an hour, it's not enough money.
No.
And now we've made it impossible for business. Because they have to start, and now your prices are gonna. What do you think's happened? I mean, it doesn't take an Einstein to figure out why we're paying a ton of money for everything and food.
Yeah, inflation's through the roof, that $15 minimum wage you want isn't gonna go very far if inflation is not pacing it. So
what about your future? You want to stick with the teaching, or you want to get into like a principalship, or what are you thinking?
Well.
Because I think you'd be good at that.
Whether or not I'd be good at it, my wife is a teacher, an excellent one, and we have the summers off together, and you know we
That's nice.
We do fine on
money.
And
you get paid for it.
Right.
Yes. But I want to, that notion that the summer's off, they used to always, my wife worked all the way through the thing. And half the time so this idea that you just walk out for 3 months.
Oh, yeah.
She was always taking other classes and stuff. And these people think, the teachers, they just get off and they just leave for 3 months. That's not how it works.
No, not at all.
It's not even close.
I want to stick with teaching because I feel like I found my calling. I was going to work one day. I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, there's people out there who, and I'm not going to get into specifics, but there's people out there in this country who say they're doing God's work. I'm doing God's work because I'm getting this legislation through. I'm doing God's work because I'm preaching here, or I'm doing this. Well, when I love that, you know, those kids come into my class and 2 years after they left my school, they're coming back to visit me still because they know I care about them and ask for help on some things and stuff
that.
Yeah. That's when you feel like you're doing God's
work. Sure.
You know, and I definitely don't hold myself up to be, you know, anything to be emulated or anything like that. I far, you know, have my faults. But that's when you're doing something, when you're saying, what can I do for others? How can I give back? And I feel like I have that job. And, you know, if I wasn't making enough money, maybe, you know, I would look at something like that. But absolutely not. I love teaching, and it gives me a chance to, with the summers, I have a chance to write. So, and I love
writing. Well, I was talking more like being a principal, where you could actually lead a school, you know, in that direction. Teachers only have so much influence.
Rare
breed.
We have so much autonomy in our classroom at my school. We have such an excellent culture and such excellent leadership that I don't feel like I'm being restrained.
Well, there you go. That's good. Some people, they work towards, I want to make this better. But if you're feeling that, well, that's probably not your calling.
I feel like I'm part of that effort to make it better. I feel like it's a team effort there. So,
if the teachers today were like you, this place
it's a tough.
A lot of them probably are.
But I know that once you hear a teacher that's a teacher, you know that's what they're supposed to do. You can tell, you know, between a talker and a teacher. I could sit here and talk about, I'll give you an example. I was at a big hotel function thing. And I thought it was a free breakfast. I'm still happen to be looking down. Is my name on this list to talk? Oh, I just came here as, you know, it was a bunch of hotel owners and you had to stand up and talk about, I go, no, you're already on the dock. I am not kidding you. I got up there and start making stuff up. Chevy Chase thing. I got to, you know, that 30% of the people come to your restaurants because of the sodas that you have. And none of it was true. I don't know any of it. And I got these letters of people. Thank you so much. Afterwards, that was so good. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to have a gift like this. And I just went up there and did that. Is that really a good gift?
Oh my goodness. But, so you pretty much just.
And I got into it after a while. These guys are buying this. And another thing, you know, the bed sheets, you know.
Take it till you make it, brother.
Everybody's
waiting to talk to me. I'll talk to you a little bit later about it. Like I had like a whole thing I'm going to seminar about. Didn't know one thing. But again, when you hear a teacher, when I've sat in school and I was very difficult because I thought I knew everything. And try to find shortcuts. Greg, I go up to the board in physics, and you don't need all this work. I'm tutoring kids. No, you don't have to do that. Just do it the way we want you to do it. You'd spend more time just trying to find shortcuts. I mean, I'm the guy like Vince Vaughn trying to, God, this got to be easier than this. Why do I? And I'd work doubly hard to find an easier way to do it. And it really doesn't do you well. And I don't know how kids are they doing sight words or are they actually phonics now? Because I know we had a stretch there where they were doing sight words.
Phonics is fantastic.
It really is
effective.
Reading is
your sight words. You know, you have a mixture of the both. It's generally everything's like that.
But you can always tell on an ACT test the ones that did sight word. I mean, when you start getting to those numbers, like English, and that's where the numbers go down.
Those teachers, you know, down in those lower grades, they know their kids, you know. They find their learning styles and they adapt to it. You have to adapt or you die. You have the species that adapt in their environment thrive and survive, and the ones that don't, they die off. So teachers that are adapting to the current learning environment, they do well. And we have a, we're lucky to have a school full of people like that.
That's great.
It is good.
So do you ever, any of your students ever, you ever see them trying to pull off what this young man tried to pull off? Finding shortcuts, but it's actually making them work harder than what they really have to.
They're geniuses when it comes to finding ways to cheat. You're always having to adapt. It's a chess match, you know?
I'm telling you, man.
We use Google Forms.
Well, I mean, it's just like I cut out all the work and have the answer. I don't mean, I want that. And I was actually tutoring a kid at Kent State, yelling at him, why aren't you getting this? I want, and they fired me from a non-paying job. No. I'm allowed to yell at the kids and show them these shortcuts. You don't have to read the whole thing.
I was able to do that with math problems.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm like, I can really good
figure
at
out the answer without, you know, setting it one spot over, moving it. I was able
but
to
in the long
out,
run,
I don't even know how I did it back then.
But it's stupid to do it.
Find a way.
I'd have
but
the right
answer.
It was
like survival to me. I had to keep a certain average or I got in trouble. I mean, there was no coming home with C's. So guess what? I'm writing this on the back of wherever.
I got to see. I think I got a Big Mac from McDonald's.
I tried to change my grade one time. I got a industrial arts. Look, I can't build a box. Okay, I shouldn't even been taking that. And I got a D. And I spent time on
trying to make it a B.
And messed it up and then smeared it. I got home. I put that down. What the hell's that, my guy? What's that? Oh, that's me. I just messed it up. I dropped some water on it.
Look like a dog ran over.
He's looking at it. It looks like a damn D to me. I got walloped all the way up the stairs for that. Not for the much the grade, but for that scam I tried to pull coming home. I should have known.
Are you guys the same age?
No. No, I'm much younger, more virile. And,
You know what? That's where we have a bad connection here. Back here, what
graduated with my wife? Oh no, she graduated 90. Yeah. I was telling her, I was like, oh yeah, you get an A on your report card, they'd stamp it with the little golden arches, and you can go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. That's
and I do remember those days.
I remember that.
What I was asking if you guys are gonna remember.
Yeah, that. I remember that.
Yeah, it was bring someone to church, you get that too. I grabbed somebody that already went. Here's a new guy right here. Try to scam at church too. But I did want to ask you another thing that's really important. Dang it, I can't remember what it was.
About teaching or?
Yeah, it was about teaching. I had a list of things I was going to ask you, and now I can't remember. It was important too, but I got off on that cheating thing. Kind of went off haywire.
It'll come back to
you. That was funny.
But it is entertaining about how the survival rate, you know, it's just.
Parents will find out anything. I don't care what you try, they find out.
You know,
your dad's going, that looks like a D to me.
Me and my friend wrote when Champion Central School was over where it was, I lived in the backyard. You know,
I remember.
Well, they used to have like chains on the door. It wasn't like really secure like things are now. So me and my friend Sam Ford, we got in there, played basketball. We start going around to school. Where's my brother's class? Bring home all these good papers. Let's see. I've gotten his desk, saw all these crinkled up. Whoa, what we got here? Got ourselves an F, huh? And I'm pulling out all this stuff. I bring him home. Yeah, you know, wanna see some papers that didn't make it to the table? Believe that.
Marty's.
Yeah. I go, where did we get these? And then it came to, how'd you get those? Where did I get those from? And now I'm in worse trouble by the time I'm done with that story. And the grades.
Didn't think that through,
I didn't think it through.
Try to take Marty down with you.
Yeah, because he was like coming on. I don't buy this.
Conspire.
I couldn't wait. I got in there. This is awful messy, too, by the way. Well, good look, stuff. I think we're out of time. Greg, anything else? I know you've been kind of neutral through my political stuff, which. Is very good. That poker face is really good. It's coming off good on TV too.
Love America and everybody in it.
Good one.
We got Thanksgiving coming. Have Thanksgiving. A nice Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You guys too.
A lot to be thankful for.
Our man Joe behind the controls.
Yeah.
Have a good Thanksgiving.
You see when he signed that unbelievable bill that has a bunch of crap in it that we don't need. I won't go into that. He couldn't even get up off the chair. He signed it and he was like staring off into space, and they had to like help him. I mean, it's not funny anymore. It's kind of sad.
It's sad. I feel bad for the guy.
I mean, because he is not there. He is completely.
I kind of feel bad for him because he's put in that position and he's doing all the dirty work. I think there's somebody else.
And then when it goes bad, they're going to kick him to the curb, you know, and go from there. Like he was the bad. Joe, and act like it was all his fault. He's just the scapegoat, like nobody.
If I could speak to that real quick, you know, his son, his older son, Bo.
Yeah.
He was an army officer over in Middle East, and his unit was in the field, and they wanted him to come back and run for his dad's Senate seat when his dad became Obama's vice president. And that man would not leave his men. He said, no, my unit's still in the field. I'm going to re-up and I'm going to go back over. That is American heroism. That is everything that is great about this country. And Joe Biden raised that boy. And we won't get into Hunter, but he raised someone that good. Obviously, there's something good about Joe Biden. And over the years, Joe Biden has had his good points. The Joe Biden we knew for 40 years is not the Joe Biden we have in office now. And I just feel bad for him.
Well, the guy for 40 years that didn't do anything for 40 years. And I keep hearing this good guy, Joe Biden. How about you keep saying that a drunken truck driver killed your wife when it's a lie? And you just keep saying it anyway. The guy wasn't drunk, but it sounds good. And you just keep saying it anyway. He's been saying that for like 20 years. A drunk driver killed my
wife. Was that his first wife?
And nobody was drunk. She went through the stop sign. So this nice guy thing narrative is... He's been a lot of years. The Corleone family, I don't think, is a bigger crime family than the Biden family. It's close, probably. But that's my take. Certainly not yours. It better be yours because you're my sidekick. I'm just kidding.
That's not my take. No.
You just laugh when I say stuff. But anything else you want to add?
Yeah. No, I think we're good.
Greg, I really thank you for being a good guest, a gracious guest, and I really think that the people got quite a bit out of it. And keep up the good work.
Absolutely.
Always been a good friend of mine.
Kids need somebody like you.
The guys are very kind.
And you're coming back to ball, aren't you?
Yeah, I played senior softball this year for the first time in 10 years since I retired. Right, I played with this guy. Last year that I played, we went on one of the most dominant playoff runs. Slow pitch softball. Nobody scored more than 3 runs against us in that run.
It was quite amazing.
And we just dominated. You know, and I was like,
"Play, Greg." People asked me for years. I played hardball until I couldn't. Till I way past when I should have, and never saw a pitch I didn't like.
Do you need me to suit up?
I swung at balls on the other side. I mean, you were very, very patient with me. I was trying to swing when the guy still had the ball in his hand. I went through a lot of, I hit a pop, I'm going, I need some mental help. Why can't I wait for this pitch to get to me? I couldn't wait for a fastball to get to me. This was like all day long coming in. But we finally got it together. It's fun too, man. I enjoyed playing with it.
Great time playing.
You were very intense, but extremely meticulous. Your pitching and wanting to win, but not acting like an idiot, like some bad sports I know would be me.
Oh gosh.
Never said I watched you a
couple times down Packard Park.
Horrible sport.
And you can only hear him.
Horrible.
His mouth.
Every time I shake hands, I'd pull up my socks and just horrible.
Tom was fun, you know. He'd foul out the third strike, 90 feet foul. Then he'd hit the next one for a homer 30 feet up that tree behind Sabino left field. You never knew what you were getting.
Or you know what I led the league in? Making the last out with a home run. Did you know that that was my big thing that everyone laughed at? Tom, do you know you're leading the league with hitting a home run when you're not allowed to and making the last out?
What do you mean you're not allowed to?
You can only hit so many home runs. In my mind, I only know one way to hit something, as far as I can, and you can't do it.
Oh, you're not allowed.
And so when I hit a home run, and I go, I didn't even barely swing. I remember Mark Morgan go, When I heard you grunting and your leg was on the ground,
gave it away.
That wasn't grunting. Your hardest.
And Mark
swing.
Would know. He's as good a hitter as there is.
The ball off the oak tree. I goes, don't give me that crap. And they'd really get mad at me. I'd be like, did you see that? Everybody would ignore me onto the field.
Are we off here?
I don't know. Are we done?
I don't
I think we are.
All right.
Well, excellent.